Okay, so open your Bibles in Revelation chapter 2. This week I was talking about the Holy Spirit, you know, and once again I fell in love again with the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. You cannot live your life without the Holy Spirit. There is no Christian life without the Holy Spirit. There is people compromise a lot without the Holy Spirit. When you live by the Holy Spirit, you have no room to compromise. I mean, yeah, the Holy Spirit won't allow you to compromise. You know, even if you wish to be bad, you can't be bad. You can't, you know. You know, the more you live by the Spirit, the less you live by the desire of your flesh. Okay? The less your selfishness will guide you or will get you to do things. The more you live with the Spirit, by the Spirit, the less you live for yourself. The more you live a life guided by the Spirit, the more you live a selfless life, a life given to others, to your family. And then you do it without complaining. You know? So, the message to Pergamum, to the church in Pergamum. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Pergamum. This is the message from the one with the sharp two-edged sword. Verse 13. I know that you live in a city where Satan has his throne. Yet you have remained loyal to me. You refused to deny me even when Antipas, my faithful servant witness, was martyred among you there in Satan's city. Verse 14. But I have a few complaints against you. You tolerate some among you whose teaching is like that of Balaam, who showed Balak how to trip up the people of Israel. He taught them to sin by eating fruit offered to idols and by committing sexual sin. In a similar way, you have some Nicolaitans among you who followed the same teaching. Repent of your sin, or I will come to you suddenly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven. And I will give each one a white stone. And on the stone I will engrave a new name that no one understands except the one who receives it. Okay, so there's so much here. I tell you, you know, can you imagine? It's been almost 2 months. I'm still in the church in Pergamum. And I'm actually skipping some of it. You know, I can't wait to go to heaven and me and Jesus, you know, we can have a really good talk about this. Because there's so much, you know, today I want to take time to continue talk to you about how to avoid spiritual compromise. Because we live in a society where, I mean, people who call themselves Christians, we compromise. Or even some of the things you need to do, you ought to do for your life, you compromise. You know, it's about time for us to stop compromising the truth. And you know, churches have gotten to the situation or to the condition they are, some churches, because we have compromised the truth. You know, I mean, I read here, a couple weeks ago, I talk about the doctrine of Balaam. I mean, it blows my mind, the doctrine of Balaam, how terrible it is. The doctrine of Balaam replaces God's word by man-made rules. You know, the doctrine, part of the doctrine of Balaam, even some of the Nicolaitans' doctrine, it tells people, you know, it plays with sin. You know, it's like sin is not a big deal. You know, you can lie a little bit as long as it doesn't kill anybody. You know, I mean, if you're poor, you can cheat because you're in need of it. Well, you know, those are the things. I'm not saying you can do that, okay? You know, somebody might take that little portion and make something with it online and saying this pastor is teaching false doctrine. You know, that's what they do out there. They take something, somebody says during a sermon and took it out of context and then just like blaspheme the name of the preacher, you know. But that's not the way we're going to live. That's not the way we're going to do church. We know Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for a pure bride. And I tell you, and I'm going to repeat it again, follow the Holy Spirit, and you won't compromise. Follow the Holy Spirit. Live by the Spirit, right? Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, right? Live by the Spirit, and you won't accomplish the desire of your flesh. Live by the Spirit. Oh, I thank God for the Holy Spirit. This past 8 days, even in my own family, I can testify that the Holy Spirit is faithful. We have experienced healing. You know, healing with our daughter. Healing with our new son-in-law. Healing even among us. It's like, Jesus is good, guys. Come on. The Holy Spirit is good. So there is no time to be dealing with whatever you're dealing. You fly on wings of eagles. No time to compromise. So be aware. I talk about that. And two Sundays ago, I talked about, when I was talking about the doctrine of Balaam, I told you to be aware of that doctrine. Not only in your life, but be aware of it in our church. You know? Yeah, be aware of it. Because if you're interceding for your church, be aware of the doctrine of Balaam in your community. So you think, man, you don't know how to pray? Well, just go back and listen to my sermon again, the doctrine of Balaam. I mean, and today, let's jump to Exodus. Let's go back. Let's take a trip to the Old Testament. Exodus, let me see which chapter that was. That's going to be homework for this week. I encourage you to read Exodus 24, chapter 24, 25, actually all the way up to Exodus 35. Exodus 24 to 35. That's your homework this week. Whatever you've been reading, just read Exodus 24 to Exodus 35. Okay? Intimacy. Because what I would wish we would do, we would have time, is to read all those chapters. I don't have time. So today we're going to focus on chapter 32, the golden calf. So now, this week, when you're going to start reading, you're going to realize that God had called Moses to the mountain for Moses to be with him. There's something I read again this week. God called Moses, and he said to Moses, come and just be. Just come up. God called Moses saying, come in my presence. How awesome that is. Moses went up to the mountain 40 nights. Before he went, actually, he chose Aaron and some of the other leaders to watch over the people. It's just like last week when I wasn't there, I established some people they were responsible for the service. Or, you know, if I'm not here, I could be like, okay, let's say, you know, that's going to be, for example, you know, Dan, you responsible for this, responsible to watch over the church. Now, if a wolf come and start eating the sheep, I'm going to first of all talk to Dan. What happened? Why were you sleeping? Right? In here, there's a great example of that. Moses went up to the mountain to be with God, and he told Aaron, you watch over the people. If anybody has a complaint, they must come to you. So 40 days and 40 nights into it, Exodus 32, the people, everybody repeat with me, the people, say the people. Be careful of the people. Because sometimes the people, they want to hear what's going to itch their ears. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, well, Moses didn't tell them how much time he's going to spend up there. But somehow, among themselves, they're talking to him. It's like Moses been gone for a while now. The people. You know something? That's why we need to be, anybody, all of us, we need to be aware of the people. The people's clapping, the people, yay! Remember, the same people that are shouting, yeah, you know, yeah, he's so good. The same people will be like, crucify him, kill him, burn him. The same mouth, the same people. Be aware of the people. I lead my life. I make a pledge to lead the Church of Christ, focus on Christ, not the people. Did you hear me? Be aware of the people. They gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods. Come, make us gods who can lead us. But what happened? They were in slavery for years. God, through Aaron and Moses, showed his power to set them free from Pharaoh, from slavery. And now they already forgot where they've been. They said, made us God who can lead us. We don't know what had happened to this fellow Moses. He brought us out from Egypt to this land. So Aaron said, this is where Aaron fell. Take your gold rings from your earrings, your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. Right there, Aaron, he compromised. To avoid spiritual compromise, God's people need strong leaders who will not compromise the truth. Thank God that you are part of a church. You know what your leader is about. I will never compromise. I told you this already. If they're going to crucify me, they're going to crucify me with the word of God. I don't want people to judge me for my personal conviction. But I'm going to do my best to base all my personal conviction on the word of God. Are you here with me? Okay, so to avoid compromise, that's point number one from this verse. To avoid compromise, you need, or the Church of Christ need, leaders. Now, when I say leaders, I'm not necessarily put emphasis on the pastors. Because a lot of time we think about leaders as the pastor. No, it's not. It doesn't stop there. The pastor, which is, I mean, I have a leadership, I have a leader over our church. His name is Kenton Slaybaugh. And then comes me, but then I also choose a group of people to surround me as leadership. You see, it doesn't stop there. It keeps going down. It goes down to our cell leaders. Leader, people that are influencing. Leadership, the leadership comes from the Greek word meaning influencer. So we need people, even we can go down the list, people that are influencing our children, teaching our children. To avoid compromise, you need a chain of leadership, strong leadership, that will not compromise the truth. Can I have an amen? Just let you think about that. Don't think the priest or the pastor, every day he wakes up, he's having a good day. I know you don't think like that. But sometimes people think, well, how come you're always happy? ask my children. Ask Kendra. Ask them about when we do have a fight. Ask them about when I'm wrong. And then maybe at the time I didn't know I was wrong, but then later on I realized I was wrong. Ask them how I treat that situation. Ask them if I create at home a safe place for my son and my daughters. If they don't come, yeah, you know, Satan is the author. That's one thing I realized again this week. Stuff, you know, Satan is the author of lies. Well, there's a song out there that says, fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. But Satan is the father of lies. The moment he gets you to believe a lie, his work is done. That's why you need to believe the truth God talks about you. Verse 2, I'm not sure why this thing's cracking, but Aaron compromised because he was afraid of the people. I'm afraid of the people. He was afraid of the people. We can't be leaders. We can't be afraid of the people. We need to love the people. But if you're afraid of them, guess what? They will lead you astray. They're not supposed to lead you. You're supposed to lead them. That's why, let me tell you this. I am so open to suggestion. There was somebody a couple years ago came to me. He's like, well, Pastor, you know what? One thing I don't like about you, you don't lead us. Well, that, you know, it breaks my heart when she said that. She says, one thing I don't like about you. I'm like, my heart skipped a beat. I'm not looking for people to like me, but I'm always aware. I'm like, okay, I don't want to hurt anybody intentionally. But I'm like, what is it? She said, you don't lead us every Sunday in the Lord's Prayer. So every Sunday I need to come up here and have everybody come on, guys, stand up. You don't have to stand up, but let us repeat after me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your kingdom come. I'm like, well, why don't you pray that at home for yourself? Why don't you, when you come to church, why don't you pray that every day, Monday, Tuesday, to the next week? Why do I have to lead you in the Lord's Prayer? The people. That's why I thank God that you guys know the truth. You are after the truth. Your hearts are after the truth. Thank God for that. Huh? Thank God. Let's say thank you, God. Even if you don't say it for yourself, let's say it for one another. Thank you, Lord. Because you do have a heart that is after the truth. Hallelujah. Not everybody has that. You do. That proves that you have the Holy Spirit. Other people, they're running from the truth. Do you see that you are running towards the truth? Amen? Are you running? I know you are. So therefore, thank God that the Holy Spirit is leading you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So Aaron, he gave in. And all the people, verse 3, took gold wings from their ears or whatever. And then verse 4 says, then Aaron took the same thing. When the people saw it, they exclaimed. So he built right there a golden calf, an idol. O Israel, these are the gods who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Wow. Spiritual compromise happens when you view salvation as human endeavor rather than an act of God. Remember, the church in Pergamum, the complaint was they were a compromising church. During that time, 312 to 606 AD, Christianity was the state church, which was, you know, Christians weren't under persecution. So people, that, you know, the governor was like, well, everybody must be a Christian, but for the wrong reason. I mean, how many people would really be a Christian if we would be living in a society where Christianity, I mean, you couldn't go to church? That's why, I don't know, I say we pray for our country. We don't want to become a communism country. We don't want to become like Europe. We don't want to. You don't want the God. I have friends in France. I have friends in Switzerland. Beautiful countries. You've heard testimonies about Christians in China. America is still the greatest country to live. So we pray. We pray for our country. But also, as citizens of heaven, we need to make a bold stand for the freedom of this country. Because if you're standing on, if you standing around watching, you know, just praying alone, you're going to see your freedom taken away from you. Aaron saw how excited the people were, so he built an altar in front of the calf. Let me tell you this, there's nothing like leading a group of people that are pleased with what you're doing. Good or bad. Good or bad. There's nothing like it. It gives the leadership wings. But in this context right here, we know that was the wrong excitement. But Aaron, he failed to lead God's people. He failed to say, you know what? I'm not doing this. This is not right. It could have cost his life, but so what? See, when we love our lives, we love our position, we love our titles, that's when we start making compromise. We start compromise the truth. Because I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to rock the boat. You know, I don't want to rock the boat. Wow. Can you imagine Jesus going to Jerusalem when he got into the temple? He saw people turning the house of the Lord into a den of thieves. Selling things, making money, bad profits. That's the attitude I pray over us. That's the attitude I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, give me that attitude. Verse 5. And Aaron saw how excited the people were, so he built an altar in front of the calf. Then he announced, tomorrow will be a festival to the Lord. Now notice that he is torturing the truth. And even here in this context, the Bible, they use the Lord, the capital letter, meaning the Lord God Almighty. So he built and just think with me right there. He built an idol, told the people, this is the God that led you from out of Egypt. Then he built an altar. He said, tomorrow we're going to come and worship. It is completely impossible that God can dwell with an idol in the same house. No, you can't worship God and worship idols in the world at the same time. Impossible. You know, and God created us for worship. So we will worship something. I choose to worship Jesus. We choose to follow Jesus. Verse 6, the people got up early the next morning to sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings. After this, they celebrate with feasting and drinking. They indulge in pagan revelry. Now, I underline this in my Bible. They indulge. You see, this is what compromise does to us. When we start compromising the truth, we lost our radar. You know, we lost our radar. Anybody drive with Waze? I know back in the days, people could. I know somebody, as a matter of fact, he spent $500 for a radar detector. You know, but you think about it. Speed limit is 70. Okay, it looks like the cops or the law is more lenient for everybody to go 10 over, which is not bad. Okay, so you're going 80 on a 70. If I just keep going 80 on a 70, which is plenty fast to travel, I don't have to worry about a radar detector. You see how we in our mind, we think, well, I got to spend this $500 for a radar detector so I can go 20 over. So when I'm 5 miles down the road, my detector is going to tell me, cop ahead. And then I slow down. You see, when we lose a sense of sin, we get to be indulged or participate in the world pagan parties. Yeah, for example, There are some things in this culture that are not godly. There are some holidays in this culture that are not godly.
Be aware. Be careful.
Be careful what you participated in. Be careful what you celebrate. There are certain things that are plainly evil. You don't take part of them. You see, here in Exodus 33:32, let's read it again. The people got up. I mean, some of them could hardly wait to get up. Why? Because the truth got tortured. The leader that was set to lead them right while Moses was up on the mountain got perverted. He compromised the truth. So therefore, what did they do? They prepared offering, peace offering, burnt offering. After this, they celebrated with feasting and drinking. Now, when the Bible says drinking here, we're not talking about drinking in moderation. They were drunk. You know, drunkenness is something that's in the church. All over the world. People think, well, we're so free. Well, then, well, God set us free. Why not? We're not in a box anymore. So then I can drink. Be careful. You can drink. But be careful. Do not get drunk. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be drunk with the Holy Spirit. when troubles come, when the worries of life come to knock you down, what happened? You laugh at them because you're so full of the Holy Spirit. When life comes to beat you down, everything is just stealing your peace. Everything is stealing your joy. But guess what? I'm drunk with the Holy Spirit. Man, you're like, what happened to you? How come you have such, how come you so vibrant? You know why? Because I am drunk with the Spirit. If you want to use that word. I'm just filled with the Spirit. I'm just filled with the joy of the Lord. See what happened when we get drunk. You feel good for a such period of time, so short. And then you sleep through it in the next whatever, morning or day, you wake up feeling more terrible. With a big fat headache and backache. Just think about it. The devil is not original. Be drunk, be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we can use this word, but Ephesians, Paul says, he's like, you know, don't be a bunch of drunk heads. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Living water will flow through you. Living water will flow through you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled. Go to the source, drink. Go to the source, drink. You feel like you don't know where to find God? Call me, say, Pastor, I want to come to the church for 2 hours. We'll open for you. And come here and walk before Jesus. Say, Jesus, I just need you, Lord. I even show you how to put the music on and whatever. Go after Jesus. The next morning, that's what they did. Verse 7. The Lord told Moses, quick, go down to the mountain. Your people. Oh. Ay, my goodness. Your people. So God see you as my people. That's why I can't be like, you know, these people, Lord. God's like, come on, what are you talking about? They're your people. The Lord God told Moses, Moses, you better quick go down because your people, for your people whom you brought out of Egypt. I mean, just, guys, listen to this conversation with God and Moses. God saying, I read this, I'm like, I love God. Because you remember Moses, right? Moses, he fled from Egypt. Just got married, was living his shepherd life, and then all of a sudden God called him. I mean, he went up there in the mountain. That's when he encountered God up in the mountain. And then God called me. He's like, hey, come on, Moses. I'm going to send you to Egypt, and you're going to deliver what? My people. God didn't say your people.
But right now, God is just so, he's so mad at them. It's like, Moses, you need to quick go down. Because your people you sent, you brought out of Egypt, what happened to them? Have corrupted themselves. See, right there in that little sentence, be careful. Do not corrupt yourself. Do not corrupt the truth. Do not compromise. Like the church in Pergamos. And there are a lot of churches, and we pray, we ask God, I said, God, have mercy. There are a lot of people right now, they're corrupting the truth. You think you can serve God 50%? You cannot. You need, for you to experience the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit, you need 100%. That's what you need. You don't need 50%. You cannot serve God 50% Lee. You need 100% Lee. I mean, I don't know if that's a word anyway. 100% to fully committed. Devote yourself to God. Devote yourself to serving God faithfully. Devote yourself to community. Devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to seeking His face, to the reading, meditation. I mean, well, yeah, meditation, but more like, what's that word? Meditation is a French word. Meditation is like, you can do that too. But it's more, it's not coming to me. Anyway. Moses, be quick, go down, because your people have corrupted themselves. Verse 8, how quickly they have turned away from the way I commanded them to live. It's so easy for us to forget God's way. They have melted down gold and made a calf, and they have bowed down and sacrificed to it. They are saying, these are your gods. O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt? Verse 9, then the Lord said, I have seen how stubborn and rebellious these people are. Now leave me alone, for my fierce anger can blaze against them, and I will destroy them. Then I will make you, Moses, into a great nation. So right there, there's a great conversation between God and Moses. God's like, okay, all right, I got it. I get it, Moses. See those people? I have a new plan. All right, even, you remember, God promised Abraham that through him, nations, there's going to be multitudes, nations. So right here in this verse, God's changing his mind. God is changing his mind on the Israelites. He's like, Moses, you need to quick go down. I already made up my mind. I'm going to kill them. I'm going to destroy them. I'm done with them, but I'm going to start new with you. And then what is Moses' response? I pray, I said, Lord, give me this heart. Give me Moses' heart. I thank God that at time he was merciful enough before I was mature enough to share his passion and compassion for people. Because I'm thinking, right there, I'd be, yes, Lord, you do it. You show them, God. How many times? I mean, Lord, you, me and God, we would have such a great conversation right there. We'd be like, God, come on. You remember? Lord, you remember in front of the Red Sea? And me and God, we would go back and I'd be like, yes, Lord, come on. Just send fire down heaven, burn them. Yeah. I can't lie to you. I'm just telling you what. I prayed this. I said, Lord, oh, I want this heart, shepherd heart. Then Moses pleaded with God. Moses said, oh, come on, Lord. No, Lord, you can't. This is intercession. Intercession, you don't know how to pray. He said, Lord, please don't bring judgment on America. Lord, please don't give us what we deserve. You walk before the Lord. You say, God, they've turned their back on you. Yes, they deserve judgment. They deserve death. But Lord, please, I'm praying right now. Don't do that. He's pleading. Moses is pleading with God. Pleading, Lord, please change your mind. Change your mind, God. Change your mind, Lord, have mercy. Change your mind, God. Send us fire. Don't give us what we deserve. Send us revival. That's what he's doing right here. And that's the heart I want us to have for our community, for our families, for our children, for our grandchildren. We beg God. We plead, plead, plead. You guys are Englishmen. You know what plead means. Bargain with God. You see, that's why God cannot operate on this earth without you and I. God wants us. He needs us to stand in the gap for our families. He wants us. He needs us to stand in the gap for our communities. But Moses tried to pacify the Lord, his God. He said, "Why are you so angry with your own people, whom you brought from the land of Egypt, such great power and such strong hands? Why let the Egyptians say, 'Wow, their God rescued them with the evil intention of slaughtering them into the mountains and wiping them from the face of the earth'? Turn away from your fierce anger. Change your mind about this terrible disaster you have threatened against your people." I tell you guys, you underline this portion of Bible verse in your Bible. Sometimes if you're stuck, you don't know how to intercede, you write, "This is intercession. This is intercession. Lord, don't give them what they need, what they deserve. Lord, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Just, Lord, have mercy on my sister. Have mercy on my brother. Have mercy on our church, Lord. They don't get it. Lord, but God, don't give them what they deserve." Yeah, that's how we pray. We intercede from a compassionate heart. "Remember your servant, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, your bond. You bound yourself with an oath to them, saying, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars of heaven.'" You see, when you intercede right here, intercession, one of the best way to intercede is to use God's word. Remind him. Oh, remind God. "Oh, Lord, I come to you. You know, Lord, I remember your promise for this church. I remember the words you said for this church. God, I remember the words that were spoken over my children. So therefore, you remember a couple weeks ago I told you I feel like there's a fire burning in me, and I'm fighting for my children. I'm fighting for my family. I'm fighting for peace. I'm fighting that, you know, I know the words that were spoken on my children. And I release my children in this world to be prophets and prophetess. I'm going to stand. I'm going to fight the devil by the power of the Lamb, by the power of the blood of Jesus. So therefore, I'm not in agreement with the devil's mind that my children are bad. My children, they're rebellious. No, I speak the difference. I speak the opposite. You know, they're powerful in the Lord. See what I'm doing? Here, I'm using God's word. I said, "Lord, I remember your prophecy, your words for my children. Whatever words the Lord gives you, I remember your words for this church. I remember before I came here, the word he gave me. I remember when he established me, the word he gave me. So Lord, I'm reminding you, this is what you said, and I'm standing on what you said." That's how we experience victory. Wow. Anybody with me? I feel like I'm getting all excited by myself, but it's okay. So good. So, verse 14. "So, the Lord," everybody read this. "The Lord relently." Give me the, are you also using the New King James? Okay. I have the NLT. "So the Lord relented from his harm, from the harm which he had said he would do to his people." The Lord changed his mind. Come on, guys. I thought the Bible said God is a God who doesn't change. I want you to get something right here. God never changed. But he valued your relationship with him so good that the level of intimacy you have with him is enough. The talk you have with him to get him to change his mind. Wow. He's the ultimate authority. The God Almighty. The creator of heaven and earth. But here it is, Moses having a conversation with him. I mean, what he says is yes and amen. But guys, in Exodus 33-32 right here, Moses just, Lord, oh God, give us the heart of Moses. Give us this heart. This is the heart we want. God changed. He relented from the harm. He changed his mind about the terrible disasters he had threatened to bring on those people. Verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain. The two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides. On the one side and on the other side. On the other, they were written. Verse 16. Now the tablets were the word of God. And the writing was the writing of God's engraved on the tablet. 17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. Verse 18. But he said, Moses said, oh, it's not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear. Verse 19. So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot. He cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. 20. Then he took the calf, which they had made, burned it in the fire, and ground it in powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. Verse 21. Finally, I'm going to read from the New Living because that's a lot easier for me. Finally, he turned to Aaron and demanded, what did these people do to you to make you bring such terrible sin upon them? I'm talking about avoiding compromise. I mean, right there, I'm just flying with this, but we could spend a couple more weeks on here. Avoiding compromise. And my point right here, it's like when leadership compromise, you see the problem? A lot of church has folded. And one of the main reasons is because of compromising leadership. I cannot compromise with sin. I cannot compromise with holiness. I cannot downplay holiness. I can't afford it. Verse 22, don't get so upset, my Lord, Aaron replied. You yourself, you know how evil these people, once again, you remember I told you be aware of the people? Aaron's like, well, you know what? It's like, God, it's not my fault. You know, these people, I was afraid of them. You know how stubborn they are. That's why my challenge for each one of you. Let's go to heaven together. Jesus is coming back. I'm going, okay? I am going. Death comes or the trumpet comes. Listen, my brothers and sisters, I'm going. I'm ready. I'm following Jesus. I love Jesus. I have peace with, I don't know if somebody has anything against me, but thank God, man. I feel like a bird. I'm so light. It's like I've had peace even with my mean sister. We're so in love right now. That's another story. That's another story. You talk about the power of forgiveness. I was just like, yeah, someday I'll give you a testimony on how God is restoring my relationship with my sister.
But I had to eat my pride, and I had to eat my rights and give her my rights and took the position of, okay, I'm wrong. Would you please forgive me? Because she's my sister. I love her. And I don't want to have bad thoughts about her when I think about her. Because then without peace with her, I won't see God. Amen. It says seek peace with everybody. As much as it depends on you, whatever you got to do. Make sure when it says peace, that doesn't mean you always go to their party, they come to your party. No, no, no. They can live miles away. But when you think about them, your thoughts are going to be peaceful thoughts. When you think about them, your thoughts are going to be thoughts that are worthy, trustworthy. Thoughts that are pure. But let me tell you this. Don't be stubborn. Submit to the word of God. Don't be a stiff-necked people. I saw my wife with a stiff neck for a couple of weeks. That's not fun. Don't get upset, my Lord, Aaron replied. You yourself know how evil these people are. They said to me, make them gold. No, make us God who will lead us. We don't know what happened. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses. So that's what he did. And in the last part of verse 25 says, all of you who are on the Lord's side, come over here and join me. And all of the Levites gathered around him. Moses told them, this is what the Lord, your God Israel, said. Each of you take your sword. And right there, God brought judgment. Everyone that was involved in that was killed. And that day, 3,000 people died. Then Moses told the Levites, today you have ordained yourself for the service of the Lord. For you obeyed him, even though it meant killing your own sons and brothers. Today you have earned a blessing. God didn't call us to kill anybody physically. But God's calling you to make a stand. To avoid compromise, there are certain people you might gonna have to kill in your life. Not literally, okay? let me rephrase this. To avoid compromise, there are certain people you might want to cut off. You know? There are certain things you might need to cut off. It could be addiction. It could be smoking addiction, eating addiction, drinking addiction, sexual addiction, watching TV addiction, whatever it is. This is the day to let it go. Jesus is coming back. He doesn't want you. He doesn't want to find you in darkness. You want to be ready. And if you have ears to listen, what do? And those who hear and obey will be blessed. Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I speak it. I speak your word. I release your word. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that our hearts, the hearts that have heard these words, you would minister to them. Father, as we take the next couple of minutes to reflect on your word, Holy Spirit, I ask you to do the things only you can do. In Jesus' name.